All right, and so we are back. That was actually a great session, and really talking about a whole bunch of brand new stuff that we as developers have to get our minds around, yet not so new at the same time. So to just kind of talk about a little bit about this async stuff even further, we do have Colin with us. Hey, Colin, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jonathan.
So you were talking about async, and you spent a lot of time talking about async in the session. And the concept isn't new, yet somehow it resurfaced because of this whole idea of responsive applications and so on and so forth. But is there something that we as developers have to kind of get our minds around other than, I'm not talking about the specific code. What about the actual concept of developing everything now asynchronously? How does one get their mind around that? And where do you start in terms of your architecture for that?
I think you've got to look at your code and really understand what the various, as Allende puts it, commands and tasks that are going on behind your code. So when you ask your user to interact with your application, what is it that you need to do under the covers to support that? And whether that's pulling in data, going off and performing operations and calculations to update the screen, or designing your application in a way that automatically updates the screen with more relevant information as they interact with your application. You've got to look for those opportunities, and those are great places to start investing some of your skill building around async. And it's a good opportunity. I say that because in the end, the user actually wins in this. They get more crisp, real-time interaction with your application and the data behind it as a result of you learning this new technology or this improvement in, I would say, the existing technology to make it much more accessible to the average developer.
Right, because I mean it's not new. It's just sort of redone to make our lives a lot easier.
Yeah, and it's coming up largely because if you look at the average machine today, 2 to 4 cores is on average the typical desktop, and inside the server environment, easily 16 or more cores available to you. And so you've got this power to be able to do things in parallel in ways that we didn't have 5, 10 years ago.
Right.
And so the reality is you should be taking advantage of. You shouldn't be consuming just a single core in your average desktop application or in your web environment. You should be really trying to take full advantage of it efficiently. And so now the hardware is caught up and actually surpassed a lot of the software. And so this is a realization that, it's now time for us as developers to go ahead and take advantage of this great hardware that's out there.
And now, of course, I'm assuming that the answer is going to be MSDN, but I don't want to assume. Where is the best place to get started in terms of thinking about using the new async and the new keywords in VS11?
So, I mean, you're right. MSDN is a great place to get started. In fact, actually, one place specifically I'd point you is back to some of the early PDC talks from the last PDC on Channel 9. They've got a lot of really great conceptual topic content there that gets you into that mindset of async, as well as walking you through the bits and pieces. The how-to section, in fact, just kind of to step back with a little bit of history, the async stuff has been coming for quite some time. They've actually been doing consumer technology previews back in the .NET 4 era
Right.
to really get this thing right. And so MSDN's more than just the what's coming in VS11. They've built out a depth of content in terms of tutorials and kind of learning content around this for quite some time. And so this is probably one of those areas of the new release that's better documented than most.
And then, kind of still wrapping our heads around all of this. Is this something that you want to use all the time, or are there specific scenarios where it does make sense to use it, and actually, more importantly, specific scenarios that it doesn't make sense to use async?
Yeah, no, great question. Like anything, you don't want to overuse it and end up with actually a slower application. And a great example is I've seen a number of web apps that take advantage of the fact that JavaScript is asynchronous by nature. And the first thing you feel as a user, and importance to kind of emphasize the user feeling or experience, when I hit the front page is, sure, great, I get the base of the page up really quickly, but suddenly the browser just drags to a halt because suddenly there's now 10 asynchronous processes trying to pull in all the different dashboard widgets on the screen.
Right.
So as with anything, you've got to really pay attention to the end user experience and make sure that you don't overdo it at the same time. Because just because you can do it asynchronously doesn't mean you should.
Ah, perfect. And with that, we are in fact just a little bit over for this particular session. But of course, Colin is available on the Canadian Developer Connection LinkedIn group to answer all the questions that you guys might have if you're watching this on demand afterwards. You know, post your questions on there, and myself, Colin, will be there. We'll be more than happy to share additional thoughts with you. Having said that, thank you very much for your expertise, both in the session and now here live, just to go on a little bit of deeper into async. And we look forward to having you on TechDays TV in future sessions.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. Take care.
Thanks. You too.